832. Let's sing that little chorus. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holy place.
Bye.
feet will sing one verse, the pastor comes. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus, lift it. Wherever I am.
Let's just close our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to just pray before we turn to the Word of God tonight. Praise God. If you have a need this evening, just lift your hand up to the Lord and the Lord will see it. Praise God. The Lord bless each one tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, and you are the propitiation for us, Lord, tonight. And we come to you, Lord, in and through the living way, the new and living way, the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. And we come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence. And we say, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be like as of sanctify us, and we praise thy name. Fill us, everyone, afresh with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you'll banish from this building every foul spirit, every demonic spirit. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to be in this building. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to move in this building. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to touch every person in this room tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm asking you for the hands that's raised. Lord, you said that you know our very thoughts, our very desires, and even before we pray, that the answer is on the way. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll meet every single need, for every brother, for every sister, Lord, for troubled hearts, that you'll meet the need, for people not knowing what to do in different circumstances. Grant your wisdom, your provision, your guidance. Bring them in the right connections with the right people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And, oh God, have your way tonight. Bless your word and strengthen your people. Bless your people, Lord. And as we come to bless you and worship your name, Lord Jesus, we praise you tonight. Heavenly Father, save all of our children, our sons, our daughters, the niece, the nephew, the aunt, the uncle, the husband, the wife, all that's near and dear to each one in this room. We claim every soul. In the name of Jesus Christ, under that token, in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost by faith to help me. And I thank you that you do. And pray you'll bless your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's remain standing. Just for a change tonight, we want to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And we want to read from verse 15 to 21. And I just want to talk about this prayer, the night of comprehensive prayer, I've called it. It's a powerful prayer here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 21. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, and knowledge of him. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, then ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You may be seated. Praise God. The spirit in which the great prayer was offered here by Paul as a prayer of thanksgiving, abounding faith, the prayer of verse 16 here tells us, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, it's good to pray for each other. It's good to pray for each other. And as a pastor, you need to be praying for the whole congregation. And then the pastor needs prayer, and every office in the church needs prayer. And it's good to pray for each other. And the servant of God says here, I cease not to pray for you and making mention of you. To whom it was offered here, we want to look at tonight. And we want to look at the manner in which men approach God is often a revelation of their spiritual character. And it's a revelation of your spiritual character and how you approach God. And I believe there's a way in approaching God. Now, you know, when I started out many years ago, and there was a wee woman, Mrs. Jones, is actually her second name was Jones. She is a wonderful wee woman, and I have someone wrote in the back of this Bible that she got me to write down many years ago. She gave me it. It's actually like a wee hymn. I have given up all for Jesus. This vain world is not to me. All its treasures are forgotten in remembering Calvary. That's what she wrote for me, and she gave it to me. And she said, Tom, the young people today don't know how to pray. And she started to tell me, she says, when we come into God's presence, there's a way to come. We must give him the proper address. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just anybody. We must approach him in his name, and we must reverence his name. And there's a way to come into his presence, and there's a way to come, and the way to come to God is only through that name. It's like being saved. The only way you can be saved is through the name. And if you're praying and you're not praying through that name, you're not praying. You're putting out words, but it won't do anything. You have to ask it in his name. You're praying in his name. Let all prayer and supplication be done in his name. To the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. And it's the knowledge of Christ we want. People talk about revelatory faith. Who's ever heard that mentioned? There's people go about the day and they talk about revelatory faith. But a lot of what they bring out of what they call revelatory faiths, a man-made doctrine. And when you go back into the Bible, you can't find it. I don't want revelatory faith. The ordinary revelation will do me. And if God gives me what it says here, wisdom and revelation, I'll be happy enough. And it'll do something for you, and it'll bring you, it'll declare Christ. The Holy Spirit in a man will make him declare Christ. And if it doesn't do it, there's something wrong. Someone else has got in on the line, praise God. He is doubtless thinking of the manifestation of his own character in the person of his son. God came in Christ. You know, I was thinking the day, and it kept striking me the day, for this reason was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Boy, I kept thinking about that all day, and I was thinking about people getting delivered and people that's in trouble. Then I was thinking the Lord wants to help them, because for this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He is praying to God in infinite love and superabounding grace. And God's love is infinite and his grace is superabounding. Not a one of us would be here tonight but for God's grace. I surely wouldn't be here tonight. It's only God's grace that I'm here. I was in a real pit. I was lower than anybody probably in here, in jail and everything. And the Lord reached me
And the Lord delivered me. The devil, he wanted to kill me. He told me to do away with myself. And there's people today, and the devil's telling them to do away with themselves, to kill themselves. And suicide here in Northern Ireland's never been at a higher rate. That's the devil. And that's why we need to be on our toes for God. Amen. And we need to let the light shine. The light of the gospel, praise God. To the Father of glory. You see, God's not just anybody. He's almighty. Amen. But he's the Father of glory. Yes. There's glory tonight. There's the heavenly glory. There's the Shekinah glory. Yeah. There should be a sermon preached just in glory. My, if you were to go into the glories of the Lord, how would you go beyond it? You know, I heard a man years ago and he preached on the three glories. Three glories. He preached on the glory of the unsaved man. For the grass that cometh up for a while and withereth away and it's gone. Then he preached on the glory of the saved man. Then he preached on the glory of the Lord. He preached about the three glories. Praise God. And it was a wonderful sermon what that man preached. And he preached for over an hour and it was like 5 minutes. That's when you know you're in a meeting. When you're not praying for him to quit, but you're wondering where the times went. You don't realize. An hour's within, you don't even know it. And you get out and you say, my goodness, look at the time. I didn't see it going. That's a meeting. But a meeting that drags is not a meeting. And I tell you, that man preached another sermon. I heard him preaching. And he went all into Solomon's temple that he built for the Lord. And he preached when God says no to your dreams. And he preached a whole sermon about Solomon's temple and he named everything in the temple. The wood and all the different things about it. And he said, when God says no to your dreams, and God wouldn't let David build the house, but he says your son will build it. He says your hands is blood, but your son will build it. And he preached over an hour that night as well, but it was like 5 minutes as well. I tell you, God's word will do something for you. You see, there's the glory of God. John 1 verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. Amen. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. And when people beheld the Lord, they beheld his glory. Jesus Christ is the glory of the Father. Did you know that? He's the Father's glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I tell you, he lights up anywhere he comes. Praise God. It's like that scripture, and I preached on it one time in Africa, where they let the man through the roof, and God, the Lord, healed him. And my text was, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And there's times when the power of the Lord's present to heal, and anything can happen. But it has to be God that does it. You can't ride the bike, as it were, or produce it yourself. It is the Lord that does it. But he can do it. He can do it. Christ personally was a kind of glory of God unveiled before the eyes of man. That's what he was. Now here's another thought. Look at these petitions. They are sweet harmony with such a gracious God that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God wants to give you the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom. You know, Solomon never asked for the riches he had. How many knows that? When God said to Solomon, you know what Solomon prayed for? Wisdom. He prayed for wisdom, and God gave him all the rest. But he never said, Lord, make me a millionaire. But I guess, and what I'm right in saying, he would have been a millionaire then. Surely he was. Solomon was a very rich. You know, the Bible says Solomon all his glory wasn't arrayed like the Lord. Isn't that right? You know, there was a sermon on that as well. Solomon, all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. But Solomon's glory was someone. Did you ever think of Solomon's glory? Solomon built the house for the Lord. I tell you, you know, when James McConnell built that Whitewell Metropolitan Church, that was one of the things he mentioned. When he built that place, I don't know how much it cost. I'm sure he mentions it in one of them books, you know, his testimony. But it cost a lot, but it's paid for it. And people could complain about what something costs. Sure, God owns the whole lot. What are they worried about? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver and gold's mine. That's what the Lord says. He owns it all. But praise God. This would mean a precious inheritance, Danny Possessor. Wouldn't it, if you had God's wisdom and revelation? Wisdom to discern spiritual things, that's what we need. Wisdom to discern spiritual things. Fresh revelation and a growing knowledge of the glorious character of Him who is the wisdom and the power of God. And Him who is the wisdom and power of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all such gifts are for the magnifying of Jesus Christ. You know, that's what they're for, to magnify the Lord. Gifts are to put in the church, to edify the church. To edify the church. If you're edified, you're built up, you're lifted up, you're edified. It'll do you good. Like somebody said before, it won't pull you down and lift you up. Amen. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 15. Let's read it. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The knowledge of His will. It is God's will we want. Somebody could come to you and tell you, oh, well, I think, brother, you need to do this or you need to do something else. But it is the Lord's will you want. Even myself, I could maybe think, you know, God wants me to go somewhere or do something, but He might not. You know that God will send a man the whole way around the world for one soul. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to some people, but it does to God, because every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord will send a man the whole way around the world for one soul. And somebody could say, well, why couldn't somebody that's there get that soul? Well, you must ask God why, but that's how the Lord works. That's how it happens. I believe there's certain people appointed and they're chosen to win souls for the Lord, and nobody else can do what they do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe Billy Graham was such a man. And there's other men that they won souls for the Lord. They're called to do it. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I tell you, it's hard to get the joyfulness and the long-suffering, isn't it? Usually when you get the long-suffering, the joy doesn't come with. But God wants you to have the joy with the long-suffering. Now, the two's near opposites, but God wants us to have it. Amen. And I tell you, things we go through, there's long-suffering, but God wants us to be joyful. Even when we're in the valley. You see, people want to always in the mountain, but I'll tell you this. There's a wee song, the God of the mountain, still the God of the valleys. We're not always on the mountain. And you'll not know how good the mountaintop is until you've experienced the valley. And when you've experienced the valley, you'll rejoice more when you hit the mountaintop. Praise God. And I tell you, when you're going up that mountain, and some of you brothers know more about it than me, but you know when you're going up that mountain, and if you stop in the middle, and you could camp out for the night, take off again in the morning, go at it again, but if you stop in the middle and say, I'll go back down a bit, the next morning you have to go a bit before you get to where you were. Never go back a step. If you feel weary, stand still for a moment and don't go back. Amen. Amen. You know when the man was needing the healing, he called on the Lord and the Lord stood still for a moment and healed him. But don't go back a step. Do you know why? Overcomers never go back ways. They never take the long way around. They go straight up and over. And the crisis is beneath them on the ground. Take a break if you have to, but don't go back. Keep going up. Keep climbing. We're running a race. Amen. We're running a race tonight. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And Brother Ewell's not here this evening, but this is one of the verses he prays. You've been praying this verse for years. This is some verse, isn't it? Not only has God delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, but into the kingdom of God, dear son. That means you've already made it. Isn't that right? Glory! Hallelujah! We're in the victory side tonight, praise God. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. How do we see God? We look at Jesus. He reveals him. He's express image of the Father, as the Bible says. He's express image, didn't he? Philip said, show the Father and suffices. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, do you not know me? He that have seen me, seen the Father. Look on the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Verse 18 is not what it says. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory, the inheritance in the saints. Praise God. There may be things spiritual and things divine which we can see with our hearts that we cannot comprehend with our minds. God can do things that's hard to comprehend. We can't understand it. But God, you know, it's like a man giving tongues and interpretations. Doesn't the Bible say the understanding's unfruitful? Him that prayeth in an unknown tongue, you know, you could be sitting, you don't know what he's talking about. But someone with interpretation can interpret it. Because that's the Spirit of God doing it. Amen. And God can interpret it. And it's like a prophecy then when it's interpreted and you know what it's about. But sometimes you wonder, but God knows what he's doing. If it's genuine, God knows what he's doing. It's to edify his people. Bless them. The affections of the heart may lay hold on what the intellect is inclined to doubt. And when the doubting Thomas said, my Lord, my God, when he seen the hands, didn't he? He believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. God wants us to believe him. When we see it and when we don't see it, he still wants us to believe him. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 to 6. And whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, whose image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Did you hear that? No. You should write that down. There's a verse needs wrote down in every Bible and it needs to be kept. Because I'm going to read it again. But we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. That's who we're preaching. Amen. And we're your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, of shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's in the Lord that the glory is. Praise God. You know, there's expected results that you may know. What is the hope of his calling? Not what is the hope of your calling. Did you hear that? What is the hope of his calling? Not the hope of your calling. There's a big difference in that. What is the hope of your calling? What is the hope of your calling? But what is the hope of his calling? It's two opposites, isn't it? The greatness and grandeur of that hope into which the grace of God have called us, how few can realize? Walk worthy of God who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. It's all about the Lord. It's not about my ministry. You hear people, my this and my that. It has to be the Lord's. Now God uses men, we know that. God uses men. But God uses them men for the extension of his kingdom, for the edifying of his saints. There's a fivefold ministry. Pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, for the perfection of the saints. There's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then there's the fruits of the Spirit. All in the church. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says this, that ye walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom and glory. Our calling as we view it, And our calling as God views it may be vastly different. We could have a thought in our head for ourselves or somebody else, but God could have something completely different. We need to know the Lord's mind, the Lord's will. The apostle had the divine outlook when he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He pressed on. Do you know the thing about it now? And you know, the devil beats me down on this a whole lot of times. Then I go back and think about this. And I want you to think of this for a moment. Look at the ministry Paul the apostle had. Will you agree with me? In a powerful ministry. Who could say Paul hadn't a great ministry? But yet withal, Paul had to work sometimes. Because he mended tents. How many knows that? He mended tents. That's why when you read about Paul's writings, he talks a lot about the veil and about tents. Because he knew what he was talking about, for he worked on them. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved of one weight, we spend so much time in these tabernacles, don't we? But they could be dissolved. But with one waiting, a house prepared in heaven, not made with hands. I want you to think of that for a moment this evening. God is a house prepared for you in heaven, not made in hot with hands. This here come up the earth, it's earthly, but Christ is from the heavenly, heavenly. And as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. We all die in Adam, but we all live in Jesus Christ. The apostle had this divine outlook of quest toward the mark. For our citizenship's in heaven. Our citizenship's not here, it's in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion our bodies like unto his own glorious body. We are going to have a body change. We're not entering heaven like we are. I can tell you that now. You're going to have a body change. You know, I said a wee tribute to Ron Borthwick. One of his sons had it up. And they had the pictures of him from a young lad as he grew up. Wonderful pictures. A right looking fellow when he's young, you know, when he had a bit of hair and all. Something like myself when he's younger. You know, the hair makes a queer difference, doesn't it? Old Elijah was baldy, you know. And you remember they called him Old Baldhead and the birds come out and ate them. Well, there's a fellow, you know, he's talking about shaving his head today, and I says, you haven't got a haircut at all. I took the hat off. I said, that's a haircut. He thought of a short haircut. I showed him a real short haircut. Short back and no sides. But you know what? I was watching that of Ron, you know, from his young lad growing up. And you think of it when you're born and you grow up, right up through your years, teenage years, and then you hit a time where you're at your peak. And you think of it when you go to heaven, you're going to have a turn back. Like young men and women. Turn back. There's not but one gray hair in heaven. There's not but one wrinkle. No deformities. No sicknesses. No diseases. I won't need these glasses. Absolute perfection. No false teeth. There's a lot of things, I'm telling you. No bad toes or nothing. Any wee things at all. None of it will be in heaven. You'll be absolutely perfect like the Lord. Not wonderful. We can't even comprehend it. And our natural thinking how wonderful it is what the Lord's prepared for us. And I tell you, Ron was about 70, I think, when he went. And he'd be a young man now. Young man. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I tell you, you think of it when God made it. You see, when we think about Adam, you know it's wonderful when you think about Adam. Because when God made Adam, he was a man. I heard a fella saying one day, every single person, you know, had to be born of a woman to come into this world. That's not accurate. Adam was born of no woman. God made him.
Did you ever think of that?
Even the Lord Jesus Christ was made of a woman. The Bible says that. The Virgin Mary. But Adam, there was no woman involved. God made him. Think of that this evening. And then think of this. God made him and he said he had no helpmate. And all the animals had partners and all. And God caused a sleep to come on Adam. And he took Eve from his side. And he gave him a helpmate. He said, she's now bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Isn't that wonderful? And you think the first Adam, Adam had no choice, you know. Adam didn't have all these girls that he picked from. God made him a woman. And give it to him, and she was perfect for him. Perfect for him. What do you think of that? You imagine somebody saying, that's your wife or your husband. That's it. No more looking. The fella said when he found her, he quit shopping. He quit looking. But isn't that wonderful? God just made Adam, and he's a full man. A full man. And here's another thing to think about, and I'm going to close in a moment. Adam had no sin before the fall. He had no sin. Until that time came, he willingly, with his eyes open, we know that he took Eve, knowing what had happened, because he's a type of Christ. And then when you read Romans, it says, sin entered into the world by one man. Adam gets the blame. It doesn't say it entered in by Eve, by Adam. Because it has to be written like that. Because there will be another man come. And as one man brought universal condemnation and universal separation, another man brought universal justification, sanctification, purification. As we all die in Adam, we all live in Jesus Christ. Romans is a wonderful book, isn't it? The book of Romans. I'm going to close just in a wee moment. What is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints? And we often think of our inheritance as Christ, but here it is, the riches of Christ, inheritance of the saints. Verse 18. The glory of this inheritance in the saints. All are his saints, or separated ones who have been born from above. They're living. His saints are living, living saints. Filled by his spirit, yielded to his will. They're Christ's particular treasure. The Lord's portion is his people. That's what the Bible says. The Lord's portion is his people. Oh, you want the scripture for Deuteronomy 32:9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Boy, that's some verse, isn't it? Praise God. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Coming to be glorified in his saints. We're getting changed. We're getting changed. We're going. We're going to be taken. I'm going to close. I want to give time to pray tonight. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. I believe it's time to get serious with God right now. Right now. You could say, you know, I'll get serious with God at some stage. God wants you to get real serious now. The Lord Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. My, I want to see my children saved. You want to see yours saved and brothers and sisters saved. Loved ones saved. Oh, but Tom, they're in an awful shape. They'll not come. God can save me, can save anybody. God is able to do it. Let's bow our heads this evening. Let's come and really make a big effort to really pray tonight and bring our prayers to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the word of truth. We bless you that you're coming again. Lord, you said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lord, we know you're coming again. You're coming as a thief in the night. You're coming to take your people to this earth. Lord, you said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. And we're going to leave this scene of time. And we're going to go to be with you. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Lord, you said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We bless you for these words tonight. I pray you'll comfort everyone in this room. Pray especially for these dear sisters that's been widowed. And brothers, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, grant your special strength. The lovely presence of the Holy Spirit to be very near. Pray in this meeting tonight to touch hearts. Touch lives. Let the Holy Ghost help us to pray. Prayers that we couldn't pray of our own selves. Manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit. More in the meetings, Lord. Oh, Lord, we need you to come. We know you're here, but we want more of you. Lord, we could say with a songwriter, I've had it all, but what I need is more of you. Lord, you promised they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Lord, the psalmist David says, as a deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul thirsteth after thee, O God. There's a deep calling to the deep. Lord, I pray you'll fill any voids tonight in our lives with the Holy Spirit. Baptize us afresh in this room. Let the Holy Ghost come into this meeting. Let the Holy Ghost brood over your people tonight. May you come upon us like the former and the latter rain. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let the fire of Pentecost fall afresh upon your people. Oh God, touch backs, touch hips, touch legs, touch knees. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that every sickness and every disease will go from your people, and they'll be whole, complete, in the name of Jesus Christ. May people even know your touch in this very room tonight. The secret prayers that's been prayed, may they be answered, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Move, Lord, in that young woman. Oh, God, turn her around, save her and deliver her. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I'm asking you to move. Lord, we know that if we call on your name, you promised you'll answer us. You said if you ask anything in your name, we can have it. Lord, we're asking you for souls tonight. Save our children. Save our loved ones. Save every one of them. Cover them with your blood. Convict them. Move upon them. Oh God, bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth, we pray. Lord, move and have your way in everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I ask you tonight, you'll inspire sisters, brothers, to pray in this very room tonight. May there be a presence like never before come on your people that'll do them good in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord tonight.